Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And then driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Connect pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Awesome to be with you guys. Welcome into Monday night. Monday night tonight, this week actually serves as Friday for me, because it's a holiday week and I'm out of here tomorrow through, next Monday. We have Monday Night Football coming your way in just a little bit here on KMOX. Giants and who? Why am I spacing out on the Giants opponent tonight? I mean, I think I even have a fantasy. Oh, yeah, it's the Buccaneers. I got stupid Gronk on my fantasy. You know why I'm checked out? Because I've already gotten my butt whooped in fantasy this week. Between injuries and bye weeks coming together, I had basically the JV squad this week, so it's pretty much why I tuned out. So we have Giants and Bucks coming up tonight, 7:15. Our coverage will start at 7 o'clock here after this first hour of Sports Open Line. We've got some Blues to start with here in a minute. We're going to talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot being released today. Nothing surprising about it, but I do want to get into the cases for some of the returning players, but also for the new guys as well. And I do want to do a little college football at the end, a little college football playoff talk, because the new college football playoff rankings are going to be out tomorrow night. And I think there's going to be some changes. I think there's going to be some pretty significant changes in the top four. Obviously, Oregon's out because they lost. They were number three going into last week. So somebody's sliding in there. That somebody's probably Cincinnati. But I think you're going to have a new number two team after this past weekend, too. So we'll get to that later on in the hour. Let's talk Blues. It's not going to be a pleasant conversation, by the way. I don't know what's wrong or why the Blues look the way that they do, but there's a problem right now, and I can't put my finger on it, but they've laid too many eggs here. And again, I understand a lot of these have been one goal losses and all that. I mean, I do think that matters, because it shows you that you're close to being the team that you're supposed to be. But close doesn't really do it. Nobody gets points for close. You get points when you win games. You know, specifically you want to get those 2 points. And it's just, you know, look, they went from a point where they were 5-0-0. So, you know, since then, since 5-0-0, they're 4-6-2, which is not good. But, you know, they were also 7-1-1 at one point. So 2-5-1 since then. That's their last 8 games. They've lost 5 of the last 6. And the big concerning part here is 2 of these last 3. It's the Arizona game, which is, as a contender and as a team that is supposed to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference, it's a game you can't lose at home. You can't lose to that team. I know things happen. I know they're pros. I know they get paychecks too. I don't want to hear any of that. You're the better team. Go play like it. I mean, and it's not like it's close. Arizona had 1 win coming into that game. The game in Dallas the other night, Saturday night, was also pretty awful. And look, Dallas isn't terrible like Arizona, but you have 2 shorthanded goals. in the same game to the same dude? Like, I don't know what, like, I understand there are problems, right? I understand that, you know, the defensive pairings are still being sorted out and they're not getting enough good play from their defensemen. And I thought, by the way, Jeremy Rutherford's piece in The Athletic today was great. He had a Q&A with listeners. They sent, readers, I should say, they sent questions. He gave answers. And, you know, there are just too many times where they don't look engaged. So that's true. But it's also, there are also some other issues. Again, sorting through the defensive pairings has not been good. And Colton Parayko's not been good. And you're paying him to be a number one defenseman. You chose him as the guy that was going to be your number one defenseman. And he doesn't look hurt to me. He doesn't look like, you know, all the back problems still holding him. He doesn't look good. And, you know, with the amount of money that he's being paid, and I hate to judge performance based on contract, but it is part of it, man. I mean, look, when you're paid a lot, it's because you're expected to be really good, and he's not been good. And he's not alone, by the way. You know, he also doesn't have an equal partner in that top pairing because, you know, when they've had Marco Scandella up there, I mean, Marco Scandella is not a top pair guy. And I know that's why they're trying to sort through other options and figure it out. And maybe they'll figure it out. And I do think that's a part of it. But I also, it's just, they look disjointed. And I'm not a hockey scout, so I'm not going to be able to like go back and look at film and break down at every point where they should be and when they should be there. But all of us that have watched and followed hockey for our entire lives, I mean, my hockey watching experience goes back to when I'm like 5, 6, 7 years old. But, you know, as a grown person, having covered the NHL since 1995, 96, I feel like I got a pretty good idea when a team looks bad. I think we can all sort through that. I might not be able to diagram it and fix it, but I know sloppy play when I see it. And I know when a team is coming in and out of consciousness. That's what it looks like to me to the Blues. It's like they're slipping in and out of consciousness. At times they look phenomenal. And at other times, you're like, what happened? And like, I know I talked about this last week. This is not something to panic about. There's a lot of time left. You know, you go on a 4 or 5 game winning streak, and all of a sudden, everybody's feeling good and everybody's happy again. But where's that 4 or 5 game winning streak coming? I mean, you got Vegas tonight. Vegas is the opposite of the Blues. They got off to a 1-4 start, and they've won 10 of 13 since, so they're playing well. You've got opportunities for wins on the road at Detroit and at Chicago this week on Wednesday and Friday. And you got Columbus, but then you got back-to-back against Tampa Bay. Florida's pretty good. You got a back-to-back against them, and not back-to-back days in either of those cases, just back-to-back games. So I'm not sure I see this like big winning streak in the near future. So I don't think you need one of those, but one of those would all of a sudden plug you back where you want to be, which is closer to the top of the division. So you're not that far from that. And again, a lot of one-goal losses means you're not that far removed. But that's still a lot of games where you weren't good enough when you could have been. When you're just a couple of shifts away from winning those games, a couple of good shifts away from winning those games. I don't claim to have the answer here. And by the way, I'm not putting it on the coach. I'm sorry, but that's just the laziest hockey thing ever. People always want to put it on. Are they tuning out the coach? If they are, that's not a coach problem. We know what this coach can do. We know what he's capable of. And I know it's the NHL where they move on from coaches, you know, at the first sign of trouble, whether they've just won a Stanley Cup or not. But to me, that's not the answer either. Got to figure out the defensive pairings. And that means to me that players that are there getting paid to be good players need to be good players. And then, of course, the guys up front have to do their job and maybe help out a little bit more in the defensive end. But right now, it's just not good enough. And that's the only way to say it. It's easy. You don't have to rip everybody individually. It's not about person. You know, it's not about, you know, taking personal shots at anybody. It's just a simple thing. It's not good enough. This team shouldn't be losing 5 of 6. This team shouldn't be on a stretch where, you know, you're 4-6-2 over a 12-game window with a lot of games in there where you could have won. hopefully, again, hopefully we'll start to see something better tonight. Because if you look tonight, like you did against Arizona and Dallas, this will be a walk. This will be 5-1 in favor of Vegas. You get smoked. Hopefully they don't, though. Because if they do look good, if they do come out strong, it'd be great to get 2 points from a hot Vegas team that's been playing good hockey. All right, let's change gears. That's not fun talking about that right now. Well, this isn't going to be a whole lot more fun, but it is always entertaining to me to talk about each year's Hall of Fame class in Major League Baseball. And, you know, when you look at the guys that are still coming back with the most support, you can look at those guys, and I'm wondering if any of them are going to get over the hump. We're going to look at the new guys on the ballot as well, and who is worthy of, as a new guy, who's worthy of being inducted either this year or at any point here in the next few years. We'll take a look at the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot next up on Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's do it, man. It's time to look ahead to the 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame class. Kevin Wheeler with you here on Sports Open Line. I love these conversations every year. I do love them more when they're about players' abilities and not about PEDs, but obviously we have to include those things when we're looking at the players on the ballot with the generation that we're currently evaluating. Last year, the Baseball Writers Association of America didn't vote anybody in, and as we head into this year's process, there seems to be a good bit of belief that we might have nobody voted in again this year, which would be terrible, right? I mean, like, the NFL gets this right. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has inductees every year, and they have five of them every year, so that when people go to Canton, Ohio to celebrate, there's something to celebrate. And in baseball, of course, we've got to be stupid about this because we're baseball. And we've got to treat the Hall of Fame more like a cathedral than the museum that it is. It's a museum that tells the history of the game. I don't know why we have to turn it into a religious experience and only let the saints in. We don't want any of these PD guys in there, even though we've got wife beaters and racists and all these other people that are in there from a long time ago. We just pretend that didn't happen. I don't understand why it's become a morality thing. Now, I do get that PEDs helped guys put up numbers. But again, it's not about the stats. It's not about the numbers. Were you one of the best players in your era? Because if you were, you were playing under the same circumstances as all the people around you. And yet we act like only the Hall of Fame players were the ones cheating. They were surrounded by cheaters. They were all doing it. It doesn't make it okay. But we're talking about history, and you cannot just pretend that the late 90s and early 2000s didn't exist. It's like, I mean, it's like when you're a little kid and there's a monster in my closet, so I'm going to pull the blanket over my head because that's going to save me. Like, what are we doing? Are we not adults? Can we not treat this like adults? Can we not just say, all right, we know what Barry Bonds was accused of. We know what Roger Clemens was accused of. But they were still the two best players of their generation. And even if you discount their performances by a third, they're still Hall of Famers. And I know it's like, oh, wait, we've got to punish these guys for what the whole sport was doing. And by the way, why are we still punishing these guys when Bud Selig's already in the Hall of Fame? By the way, there are other steroid users in the Hall of Fame already. And what I don't understand is how we can't move past this. Any rational, logical person can look at the Hall of Fame and say, there are likely steroid users in there. I mean, because steroid use in sports goes back to the 19... Well, I mean, really, it actually goes back to the time of Babe Ruth. It goes back into the 20s. You know, there were people back then trying things. If I remember right, like they tried something with Babe too, but it was like weird science and it didn't really make any sense. But like, you know, like anabolic steroids are not a new thing. They were in the NFL in the 60s. If they were in the NFL in the 60s, you don't think they've been in baseball since at least the 70s or 80s? You think all of these guys that have come through, that they were all clean? I mean, they were all, you know, popping greenies in the seventh inning of games in July and August so they could maintain their focus. I mean, they were all doing that, but that's not a performance enhancer, I guess. I guess having greater focus and energy doesn't really help you play baseball better? All right. Okay. But, yeah, I don't like Barry Bonds. I don't like Roger Clemens any more than you guys do. But we need to get past this issue and talk about the practicality of it. Who are the best players of the generation? And if we're going to sit there and assume that nobody in the hall right now has taken performance enhancing drugs, you're out of your mind. So if we can look at this rationally and say, all right, we can reasonably say there are steroid users in the Hall of Fame now. So why are we punishing two or three guys for the sins of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of players? Why are we putting Bud Selig in? And putting him in, by the way, without any waiting period at all. Let's just rush him in there. When he was presiding over the whole thing the whole time. Why are any managers from that generation in the Hall of Fame? You telling me they didn't know? They weren't suspicious when their players all blew up? I mean, that was the question raised about Tony La Russa, and it's a fair question. How in the world could you not see that? Or Joe Torre? Or anybody else. I mean, because every manager had guys in their clubhouse doing it. Every owner had to have at least some suspicion. Every general manager had to have at least some suspicion. The whole sport screwed it up. But yet we punish just the handful of the excellent players who happen to achieve more than the others. So in case you can't tell, if I had a ballot, and I don't and I never will because I'm not a baseball writer, but if I had a ballot, I would be voting for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Not because I think they quote-unquote deserve it. Because I don't think you can tell the story of that generation without telling their stories in there too. And it's a museum. We need to stop treating the Baseball Hall of Fame like second-grade history books where we don't tell anybody about real history. We want to tell them the cartoon history.
Well, all of the pilgrims sat down and had Thanksgiving dinner with all of the Native Americans.
Yet they all got along happily ever after, except for all the ones that were killed. I mean, I don't know why we need to do that. Why can't we just tell the history and put it on the plaque? Barry Bonds was credibly accused of using performance-enhancing drugs. Roger Clemens, and maybe that's not even necessary. Just tell the story of the game. I don't think it should be a morality play. And I don't think it should be, because again, even though those things were illegal at the time, most of those substances were not banned by Major League Baseball. There was no policy in Major League Baseball for those substances. So again, if they had been arrested for it, then they would be like any of the guys that got arrested for drugs back in the day, and which happened to some guys that are in the Hall of Fame. It's a crime, but it's not breaking a baseball rule. Now, that doesn't mean I think what they did is okay. It's not. It's not okay. That whole generation was screwed up. Leadership got it wrong. Players got it wrong. Middle management, GMs and managers, got it wrong. They all did it wrong. But it doesn't mean we can't be grown-ups about it and say, you know, we know other guys are in there that did it. Pretty reasonable. We're not going to accuse anybody. I'm not going to, because I don't think it's fair to just speculate about people, because I've been told stories by people who played with and against them that they did stuff either in the minors or in the majors. But I know it. I know that there are multiple players that have gone in the last 10 or 15 years that have used. But I'm not going to throw names out here because it's not fair. Just like it's not fair to... Now, again, if you want to make the rule that anybody who tested positive should be kept out, I'm there with you. Because then they broke a rule that they knew was a rule. That's absolute proof. It's not just somebody telling you something about it. It's not just an accusation. But anyway, that's part number one. I want to get to part number two on this Hall of Fame thing, because I want to talk about the non-steroid guys. Well, actually, I got to talk about two new guys that have some of those things too. We'll get to the new guys and the non-steroid conversations for this Hall of Fame ballot coming up next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's get back to the 2022 Hall of Fame ballot, and we'll get away from the PED issue. Although I do want to start off talking about the two new guys on the ballot. So the guys that are on the ballot now that have the PED ties, Bonds, Clemens, Manny Ramirez, Sammy Sosa, Andy Pettit, you know, the guys that got caught up in all of it. I'm talking about the returning vote getters. You know, there's most of them are not even close, right? Manny Ramirez is not going to get in on the vote. He's at 28%. Sammy Sosa. What I don't understand is why there's such a huge gap between Manny Ramirez and Barry Bonds, though. I know Manny's been caught, and actually, you know, maybe the difference is simply what I talked about last segment. He failed two tests. I mean, that's a big difference between an accusation and you know, failing two tests. So maybe that's the difference between them. But it is interesting to me that, you know, Manny Ramirez is at 28%, Sosa's at 17%, while Bonds is at 61.8%, Roger Clemens is at 61.7%. I mean, they are not far away from getting in. Now, they won't get in. because this is the 10th year, and I think people are going to make sure that they don't get in on the ballot. I just think that there are enough voters that have already decided what they're not going to do, and they're not going to vote for those guys. The two new guys on the ballot that have the PED question hanging over their heads are Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz. Now, A-Rod, I mean, apart from the PEDs, now keep in mind, he served a suspension for it, right? He had a positive result, so he's in a different category than Bonds and Clemens. So I'm going to be really interested to see where he falls because, you know, like Bonds, A-Rod would be unquestionable minus the PED questions. I mean, you know, 3,100 hits and 696 home runs. I mean, like, seriously, one of the all-time greats and maybe one of the three or four greatest shortstops of all time in terms of offensive numbers. Be a no-brainer other than that, but he's got that hanging over his head. But he's also been on the rehabilitation tour here for the last 5 years. He's doing TV games on Fox and ESPN. You know, he's on Shark Tank. Like, his image has been reshaped a little bit. Now, I don't know if that holds any water with voters for the BBWAA. I mean, for a lot of them, it won't, and maybe for some it does. I don't know, but we're going to find out. I'm also interested in David Ortiz. Ortiz's name was linked to the initial New York Times report that came out pre-steroid testing, right? When they did the initial round of anonymous testing. Remember, they had that threshold set where if the players tested positive at a certain rate or higher, then real steroid testing with real punishments would come in the following year. Obviously, we know how that turned out. But David Ortiz's name was listed in documents that were leaked to the New York Times as having tested positive, not after the fact, but during that initial testing phase to see if they would actually go in with the full testing phase. And I wonder if that's going to matter at all for David Ortiz. Because, again, David Ortiz, super popular guy. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, nobody liked them. I mean, let's be honest. They were jerks. They didn't treat people well. You know, David Ortiz, pretty nice guy. You know, I mean, I don't know that it's going to matter. And I don't know that it's fair to include him with the other guys. Because that was supposed to be an anonymous test, and somehow somebody leaked a list of names that coincided with the test results. Or that you could tell who was who based on the information. But A-Rod and David Ortiz are the new guys that are interesting in that regard. And by the way, they are the only guys in this new group this year that would have any chance of getting into the Hall of Fame via the writers' vote. None of the other players are going to be close to that. So it's really going to be interesting to see about them. Now, let's talk about the non-PED guys. Curt Schilling is really close to getting in. He's at 71.1%. Of course, you have to get to 75%. He's maybe, what, I think he's 12 to 16 votes from getting in. His numbers are good. I've always argued against Schilling for his numbers. But when you compare him to some guys that are already in, like when you compare him to John Smoltz, for example, it's not that far off. I don't think that anything that has happened with Curt Schilling after his career should impact anyone's voting. I don't care if you do or don't like his politics. If you like his politics, that shouldn't matter. You shouldn't give him extra credit. If you don't like his politics, it shouldn't matter. You should not take away any credit for that. That has nothing to do with anything. It shouldn't. I'm sure it does for some people, but it shouldn't. And I'll be really interested to see if he gets it. Now, what really probably hurts him more than anything else is last year he wrote this long screed ripping the Baseball Writers Association of America. I don't want to be in the Hall of Fame. All right, fine. You know, if somebody's spiteful, he could be like, all right, fine. You don't want to be in? Hey, I'll take you off my ballot. My approach would still be, if I think you're a Hall of Famer, you get my vote. I'm not going to worry about what you want or don't want. I'm not going to worry about your politics or anything like that. It shouldn't be a consideration. The other guy that I'm really interested in is Scott Rolen. He made a big jump last year. He's at 52.9%. He's really trending in the right direction. He's only in his fifth year, so he's got a lot of time. And I don't know that he's going to get in this year. But you know what? If you're not going to vote for Schilling or Bonds or Clemens or Ortiz or A-Rod, how are you not voting for Scott Rolen? What's the argument against Scott Rolen? He's one of the great defensive third basemen of all time. He's a legitimate middle-of-the-order hitter, MVP-caliber player, better than half the third basemen that are already in the Hall of Fame. What's the argument against Scott Rolen? And, you know, again, I think the tide has turned on these kinds of players, these really strong all-around players that maybe don't have the most glaring numbers in certain offensive categories, but they're awesome all-around players, and that worked. Larry Walker got that recognition, and I think Rolen is a comparable player in the sense that what made them great is that they were good at everything. Maybe they didn't hit enough home runs, but they did everything. And I think that should matter. And I think he's going to get in. I'm not sure if it's going to be this year, but this would be a good year for him to get in. This would be a great year for him to get in. I hope Todd Helton continues to get more support. You know, I'm tired of the whole, knocking on Coors Field thing, and maybe Larry Walker helped fix that too. But it's like, well, it's Coors. Yeah, you know what? Has anybody ever discounted a Yankees player who bats left-handed and has that short right field porch? Has anybody ever said a Red Sox player who's a right-handed pull hitter hitting 315-foot home runs over the top of the Green Monster? You ever think that those people get anything held against them? You think people at Wrigley Field who had the small ballpark and the wind blowing out got anything held against them? Do pitchers get anything held against them when they pitch in Dodger Stadium or Busch Stadium or, you know, out in San Francisco or whatever? I mean, like, we only do this for one ballpark, and we've got to stop doing that. We've got numbers that adjust for your ballpark. We can figure this out. Todd Helton's a Hall of Famer, and I hope he gets in. And then lastly, another guy that I'm not sure I understand why Andrew Jones gets so little support. But Andrew Jones is one of the three or four greatest defensive center fielders in the history of the sport. He also hit 434 home runs, drove in almost 1,300 runs, stole 152 bases, and he gets almost no support. What are we doing? How is that? I mean, like, that doesn't make any sense. Does it? I mean, I know people will say, well, it's all front-loaded. You know, he flamed out early. So? This guy's got a 50-homer season. What's he got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 gold gloves. How does a guy with 10 gold gloves and 400-something home runs and other good numbers, too, like, how is that guy not getting more support than 33% of the vote? Just count that towards the things that don't make any damn sense. We'll talk more about this. We got a lot of time to cover all this. We don't have to do it all today, but I just wanted to kind of set the stage for what we might be looking at in 2022. All right, speaking of setting the stage, next up, we're going to close the show by taking a look at tomorrow night's college football playoff rankings coming out. The weekend is over. Obviously, there were some upsets and there were some big losses, so things are going to change. What's going to happen? We'll talk about it next on KMOX. All right, let's close it out with a little college football. We got the college football rankings, playoff rankings, coming out tomorrow night. And my microphone just moved on its own. I didn't do that. I swear, there's ghosts in the studio. It just started moving. That's what that sound was. Anyway, there are going to be changes in the top four. So the top four last week went Georgia, Ohio State, went Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, or Oregon, and then Ohio State. Oregon was the number three team, and obviously they got smoked by Utah, so they won't be it this time around. They're not going to be in the mix, right? I think what we're looking at is very simply, a little shift here. Like, they're out. And certainly Cincinnati will probably slide in because they were actually impressive this week for the first time in about a month. But what's clear to me is that Ohio State's going to jump from number four to number two. You know, Georgia's going to – they're number one. Nobody's challenging them. The first chance that they could lose will be the SEC championship game, most likely against Alabama. And if they – even if they lose that, I think Georgia's in now. They're in the playoff as it is. Like, even if they lose to Bama, they're going to be in. And if Bama wins, of course, they're going to be in too. Ohio State, The only way they're out, obviously, is with a loss. If they get beat by Michigan this week, which isn't going to happen. They're not going to get beat by Michigan at the Horseshoe this week. Although it would be great if the upset happened. It would throw in a little bit more chaos, which would be entertaining. But I don't think that's going to happen. But Bama was not impressive this week. They didn't look good against Arkansas. They wound up winning, and they only won by a touchdown. And it was, I know Bryce Young was amazing, and he had the most passing yards in a game in Alabama history and all that. But the defense gave up 35 points. And I know Arkansas is not bad. They're number 21 team in the country coming into the week. But Alabama at home should look better than that, and they didn't. And with Ohio State just obliterating Michigan State, they're going to probably jump up, I think, to number two. I think you're going to see Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and then Cincinnati as the college football playoff group at the end, once this is unveiled tomorrow, with Michigan in the number five spot and Notre Dame probably in the number six spot, followed by Oklahoma State. Now, Notre Dame's going to need help. See, like, if Michigan beats Ohio State, Michigan will be in unless they go to the Big Ten championship game and lose. But I don't think Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. And one thing that's pretty clear to me this year, and it's something that makes me worry a little bit about Georgia, to be honest with you, once they get into the college football playoff and maybe in the SEC championship game too. Overall in college football, I think the level of quarterback play is just down this year. And I know we're probably spoiled because we've gotten to watch Trevor Lawrence put up numbers and Justin Fields. We got to watch, Mac Jones was really good at Alabama, man. I mean, the level of quarterback play we've seen these last couple of years from those guys in particular has been spectacular. And this year, it's not. This year, it's just, Stetson Bennett at Georgia doesn't do anything for me. And I think if they're ever behind in a game in the fourth quarter, and they may not be because their defense is amazing, but if they are, I think they're going to get beat because I don't think he's the guy that wins the big game for him. Maybe I'll be wrong. Been wrong before about quarterbacks in college, about a lot of things. But that's why they're vulnerable to me. As great as their defense is, as strong as their running game is, I don't know that Stetson Bennett is the guy that wins the game if you need him to in the fourth quarter. He's definitely the guy you can win a championship with. I mean, guys less than that have won. But I don't know what that's going to look like if he has to come back from a deficit. Bryce Young at Alabama is super talented, and he obviously looked great this weekend. But again, I'm not sure that he is now where Mac Jones has been these last couple of years, or where Tua was before that, or where Jalen Hurts was before that. He's very good, and he's getting better. And that's the thing about Ohio State that's interesting to me, is C.J. Stroud has gotten a lot better. He might be the best quarterback in the country right now. He's made a big leap. He and Young are continuously getting better, and I wonder if that gives those teams an edge. Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati is really good, but he doesn't play enough good teams for me to know if he's at that level yet. And I think that's why this is a little more chaotic this year than it normally would be. Just not enough great quarterback play in college football. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. You guys have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I'll be out for the rest of the week. We'll talk to you next week. We've got Monday Night Football coming up next. Giants and Buccaneers wrapping up Week 11. Enjoy that. Again, we'll talk to you next Monday night here on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best. best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.